of pigeons.
Let us bow our heads. Oh, gracious God, our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. It's able to endow us with the knowledge that we may follow and walk after your decrees, walk in agreement with your plan, your purpose, that which you have worked out for those who have been loved from the beginning. Now, touch my body this morning that I might minister the Word of God. And bless these gifts of clay and bless us in this hour. So we give you the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
I'd like to say grace and peace to the congregation. Normally, I don't preach on a birthday celebration. We sort of had a mix up. And I did not impress upon Deacon Gavin to come forth this morning, amen, not having time for the preparation. So what we shall do is we shall continue in the vein that we have been moving in. For the past several months, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 3. And we shall move forth as we have been discoursing the glorious body of Christ, the church, which speaks about eternal union with Christ. There's nothing that's going on in life that's more important than the fact that we are eternally linked with Him.
Amen.
Men are born, men live in this world, and then men leave this world. And as we look at time, it is a passing, momentary increment that was designed for God to express something. And I can't think of anything more glorious of an expression than His eternal work of redemption of those that He have saved and called out, the elect of God, those that He knew in eternity, foreknew before time, and God has worked out that which He decreed in eternity, and His time just expresses those things that eternity has harbored. The greatest of all of God's expressions and the greatest of all of His creation is the body of Christ. The church. Now, many we think of the church as an organization, and certainly the local assemblies of physical, earthly representations and expressions of it as far as what we can see now. But oh, God has something great in store for all of those whom He has loved. And it takes a spiritual mind to look into the essence of the Word of God and see the greatest of all creations. Amen. The glorious body of Christ, His church. And we say His church because He paid for it. Amen. In eternity, the Lamb of God was slain. Amen. It was manifested 2,000 years ago, but it was actualized in eternity. The glorious body of Christ. Now we had moved down into our dissertation. The Liberman is our designated reader. And as I've said, the third chapter of Galatians, verses 26 through 29. I only want to read all three verses from the King James. And our format here is we basically read from the King James because that is the most familiar of all all English translations. But for concise Bible exegesis, we always go to the Greek manuscripts. And the texts, which we will admit, there are copies. In fact, there are copies of copies. No one has made any claim to finding and having in their possession the original autograph. When we said original autograph, we're speaking of the original letters that were actually written by the Apostle Paul. No one has those. It is copies. And in those days, there was no printing press. There was no copy machine. That was the only way you could copy something is you'd have to have a scribe to look at the document and then copy. And then, of course, as ages and time went on, copies of copies. And when Paul writes to the church and he says, distribute this letter, if, in our language, that would be go to the copy machine and duplicate what's there as the original. And we don't have to worry about there being any changes. But in those days, it was dependent upon the scribe. And sometimes they hit it and sometimes they missed it. But in spite of that, the Word of God is alive and well, and it is true today. There is that you don't have in today's economy, as we look into the grace dispensation, we're looking down the road, and as we stand right now, 2,000 years, but we do have the confidence that as we survey the scriptures, that the truth is available. That confidence is in our teacher. And no, I'm not talking about me, and I'm not talking about any theologian. We're speaking of the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher. He is the greatest of teachers. Amen. The Holy Spirit knows the mind and the will of God, and he thus takes that and he conveys it to the hearts and the minds and the spirit of those whom God has called out and redeemed. And so it doesn't go, amen, from mind to mind. It goes from spirit to spirit. And then from spirit, oh my, you all on him this morning. Amen. So without the spirit, we cannot get to the truth. All right, everybody that has it, that is the third chapter of Galatians, verses 26 through 29, say amen. All right, read.
Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Our Lord.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither bond nor free.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither male nor female.
Now that's one that we're going to take a little time and we're going to deal with some aspects of that today. Now, believe it or not, of all of the litany, Jew or Gentile or Greek, which deals with ethnicity or nationality, and bond or free or slave or free, as we shall see reading the Greek text in a minute, deals with the social aspect of it, but the most controversial is male and female. And we shall see when we read the Greek in your Bibles, as you look in the 28th verse, when you see Jew, not Greek, that's fine. When you see bond, not free, they are following the Greek manuscript. When you see male, not female, they did not follow the manuscript. Here you have the Greek conjunction ker, rendered and. So you might want to take a pen and where they've got law there, cross that out and insert the word and, not male, not female, but it's male and I could do something with that this morning that I'm not. To answer those who are espousing gay rights and all and gay marriage and all that kind of thing, amen. Male and female is always taken as a unit. Even back in the book of Genesis, you see male and female as taken as one unit, because you see, Lord took a rib from Adam and made Eve. So it's not one or the other, amen. It is one with the other, amen. But we'll deal with some aspects of that, but not we're not getting off into any social aspect of that this morning. Finish that up, Elder.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
That's the bottom line. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, we had gone through verse 26, for we are all children of God. According to the text, we have the definite fact from the indicative mood that we are sons of God, and those who are sons of God, we're thus through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, has nothing to do with you. Nothing that you didn't wake up one morning and all of a sudden you out there all foolish, and then overnight a stroke of genius came upon you and you woke up next day and you realized that you have been a big fool and now you want to give your life to the Lord. No, that didn't happen. What happened is a long time ago. According to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, you were elected and chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Then when you get to the 8th chapter of Romans, it tells us, amen, that based upon, amen, the fact that he has elected you, and through the foreknowledge of God, he called you, collecto, he called you at an appointed time, which is the manifestation in time of what God had already decreed in eternity. Amen. And if God had never called you in eternity, never elected you in eternity, he would have never called you in time. Amen. So basically, it is all of the work of God. And he is justified in his call because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ in shedding his blood, amen. Yes, he shed it upon Calvary in time, but he shed it in eternity, because for God to elect you, he would need some basis to be justified, amen. And no, God didn't save anybody on credit. Of course, we would talk that, and some men who have great respect for theologians, but they taught that we were saved, amen. Well, those that were in the Old Testament, more specifically, were saved looking toward a day when they would be justified by the blood of Jesus. No, Abraham was justified, but he was justified because the Lamb of God was slain in eternity. And so there is no such thing as the blood reaching back to get him. Amen. The blood was already there. Amen. When God, amen, called him out of all the Chaldees, amen, the blood of Jesus was already shed. And then we move to the 27th verse. Moving right along here, amen. And from the Greek text, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, and that's from the King James, and from the Greek text, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ, put on Christ, amen. As this verse deals with the means and method of God placing one into the body of Christ. And notice, amen, I said God placed you in. The verification of that comes from the fact that the key verbs in that verse are baptized and put on, amen, are clothed. And both are in the passive voice. Anything that's in the passive voice knew that it was something that you received, something that was done to you. You didn't do it. Amen. And of course, the preacher didn't do it. The preacher didn't baptize you into the body of Christ. The preacher might have performed a ceremony, but he did not place you into the body of Christ. Amen. That was done long time ago. So as we look at these two verbs, baptizo, translated baptize, amen, and anathisape, written that put on or having put on or did put on, because both of these verbs are also in the Greek what we call the aorist tense, and the aorist tense means that it is a past completed action. So you were baptized, you were baptized, you were placed in the body in eternity, and amen, and because of that, you did put on, you were clothed in him, and so, amen, every act of you being in the church, being in the body of Christ this morning, is the essence of what God did in eternity, amen, and the fact that he did it in eternity eliminates any contention or debate as to who performed the act, because if it occurred in eternity, there was nobody around but God to perform the act. Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. And so the body of Christ is according to the principle of election. And when we talk about baptism in this sense, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, we're speaking of the spiritual baptism, not speaking of water baptism. Amen. We're speaking about that which is viewed in light of the fact that you were designated. Here, the essence of baptism is identification, which is synonymous with son positioning, a son placing you. Amen. Now, those whom he identified, he placed in the body of Christ. Amen. So we who were baptized, identified, and placed in the body of Christ have in fact we have put on Christ, amen. Again, he's speaking of the essence, and it depicts the putting on of, the closing of, amen, as the essence of those who have put on Christ and have their lives hidden with Christ, amen. We are confident, based upon this, that is, position-wise, that we belong to him. Amen. And this baptism and this putting on is all in the spiritual realm. And none of it can be associated with any physical activity. Amen. And so anyone that tells you that you are in the church because somebody performed a service of water baptism, you say to them, read a little closer. Amen. The actual essence of my position in Christ is all traced back to eternity. Now we move to Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Elder, I want you to read that again from the King James.
Galatians 3:28.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
There is neither bond nor free.
Bond nor free.
There is neither male and free and female.
That's right. He did not read that wrong. Go back and check it out. Amen. Read it.
There's neither male and female,
mm-hmm.
but ye are all one in Christ Jesus. All
right, this is the bottom line. Now we're going to read the translation of this from the Greek text. One is not a Jew, nor Greek. One is not a slave, nor free. One is not a male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, this verse must be viewed with the full understanding of what the essence of those in Christ represent. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. And that physical distinctions have no place in the body of Christ. Thus, the composition of those who are in Christ or in the church is out of all races, regardless of physical identities, as all are amalgamated, or all are blended into one.
Yes.
Paul expresses this thought in a more explicit manner in 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verses 16 and 17.
Yes.
Here I'm just going to read it from the Greek right now. Follow along in the discourse. We shall absolutely exegete those two verses.
Yes.
But from the Greek text, as a corroborator, it reads, so that we know from now on, from this point going forth, we have known no one according to the flesh. Even if we have known Christ Jesus according to the flesh, now we know him as such no longer. So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, we're talking about the spiritual body of Christ, where no one is known according to the flesh. No, amen, that which we have just read is correct. Apostle Paul writes to Corinth and said, even though we have known Christ Jesus after the flesh, we no longer know him according to the flesh. Amen. And I smile sometimes when I see debates about trivial things such as what color was his skin and what was the course of his of his hair. Some said, well, he wasn't really Jewish when you look at his lineage and you look back through Matthew and Luke, you see, amen, there's a lot of Gentile blood that's mixed up in da-da-da-da-da. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit had a reason for that. But bottom line is, amen, we're not looking at the flesh. Whether it's black, whether it's white, whether it's brown, amen. Oh, my God. We focus on the spiritual, not the physical. Amen. And this is what visible congregations need to come to grips with. There's no such thing as a black church, a white church, a Japanese church. Amen. There's no such thing. Amen. These are figments of men's imagination. We could look into the essence of eternity. Amen. Before there was a black, a white, a brown. Spirit, before creation, before those flesh, amen, God, amen, he is greatest of all creation. But he took you and I and those, amen, who he has elected and designated, and he took them and put them into a spiritual entity. Oh my God, the body of Christ. Woo!
Hallelujah. Thank God.
Yes. So we've said, church, we're not talking about a Baptist church, a Methodist church. These are denominations.
That's right. Come on with it. Come on with it.
And if you look up the meaning of denomination, it means division. There is no division in the body of Christ. When you look into the essence of the spiritual entity, you're not looking at classifications, not looking at ethnicity. And this is what this is conveying. From the second chapter of Ephesians, it tells us that when he created this entity, he tore down the only division there was. And that division was the fact that he had, amen, a covenant people, Israel, in the prior dispensation. But this conveyance in the second chapter of Ephesians is there to let us know that there are no divisions. And so it reads that he tore down the middle wall of partition that divided Jews from Gentiles in the past dispensation, and this is why it is referred to as that which is new. Amen.
Yes.
Now, the first we have a litany of variants here: Jew, Gentile, bond, free, male, female. As we look at them, Jew, neither Greek, of course, we can insert Gentile there, because as far as the Jews were concerned, and they were correct, you see, the covenants of the Old Testament are exclusively with Israel. And you as a Gentile, it's not talking to you. Somebody said, well, we're spiritual Israel. Well, go back and do a little historical reading to see where that term came from. They looked around and they didn't see a nation called Israel. And they said, oh, the answer is we are Israel. We are spiritual Israel. But the church is not spiritual Israel. What did Paul write to the Romans? He said, has God cast away his people Israel? He said, God forbid. Absolutely not. And then it teaches us that God blinded their eyes. And this is why when you grow up in the synagogue, Jesus isn't welcome.
No.
But God did this. He blinded their eyes.
Yes, it is.
That was part of God's plan.
Thank you, Jesus.
They rejected him and they crucified him because they were blind.
Amen.
And God did it. Why did God do it? Amen. It was part of his plan and purpose because, in his plan, he set them aside for a period so he could bring in a new thing. But it wasn't new. It was hidden.
Come on here.
And no man knew it until he revealed it to a man named Paul. And so, do not confuse the body of Christ with Israel. For in Israel, they have an advantage. In the second chapter of Romans, third chapter of Romans, I should say, Paul writes what advantage has the Jew. Verse 1 and 2, he said, much in every way, because unto them was committed the oracles. They had something. We as Gentiles, we didn't have anything. Amen. And whatever God had given them, they is still their possession. Amen. God has it reserved for them. Amen. But if you come to try and seek to possess that which belongs to Israel, you will be like the Gentile nations that were all destroyed each time they came up against Israel. And the law, and he who lives by the law will certainly die by the law. But we're talking about the body of Christ, the church. There's neither Jew nor Greek. That's the first, a Gentile. That's the first litany. Then the second verb of the litany is we have the phrase thulos ufe elephthelos. It is translated slave nor free. Now it's kind of hard for us to relate to that. Of course, if you go back 100 years in this country or so, well, actually now I guess maybe 150 years, and it would mean something. But in that time, they had slaves, and so slavery didn't begin with black people in America. It goes back to the beginning. Amen. And you notice Paul is not taking time here to get into the political aspect of it. Amen. He said that's what we have, but that's not what we have in the body of Christ. So whatever is in the physical, you cannot turn around and take it over into the spiritual. So whatever's going on in the world is one thing, and what's happening in the body of Christ is quite another. Here, special attention is drawn that in the body of Christ, one social status does not avail nor repel. Come on. As neither are regarded as efficacious faculties for salvation. Thus there is no caste system in Christ. Amen. In the sense of the bestowal of prestige, anything in vestitude once birth alike. It was in this light that Paul wrote in his epistle, you know, when he wrote to Philemon during his first imprisonment in Rome. Philemon had a slave named Onesimus who had been saved under Paul's ministry and had become very valuable to him. And so, and also Philemon was saved. So, amen, yes, it can. He said, well, if a person has slaves, then he can't be saved. You know, he's never, Lord help us. If God, amen, designated us based upon our actions. You see, what God has done is out of the realm of anything that is physical.
Yes.
So Philemon was a slaveholder, yet he was saved. And Onesimus was a slave, but yet he was saved. And here Paul is writing Philemon out. In the verse 15 and 16 of Philemon. You may turn to it. right quick. It is the book just before Hebrews. In verses 15 and 16, Paul writes that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but a bond slave. A beloved brother, especially to me, but even more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And I just want to focus on those two. In the flesh and in the Lord.
Glory to God.
In the flesh, Onesimus was a slave. In the Lord, he was free. In the flesh, Philemon was a slaveholder, which made him just as much in bondage as the one he was holding. But in the Lord, he was free. So what Paul is expressing here is that what is going on in the body is more important than what's going on in the flesh and what's going on in the world.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Preaching.
That's right. What's going on in the body is more important than what's going on in the world. Now, there are many that preach a social gospel. There are many of congregations that have been built up on civil rights. And I thank God for the advancements, etc. Amen. If the Lord tarries another couple hundred years, it won't matter what happened in 1865. It won't happen, won't matter what happened in 1965. It won't matter what happened in 2004. In the body of Christ, it doesn't matter who's president, because that's in the flesh. Amen. George W. Bush, he's president of the country, amen. But that's in the flesh, that's in the world. In the body of Christ, amen. If he's saved, he's just a brother, just like I am. And I'm not saying whether he's saved or not saved, amen. For we are not qualified to attempt to identify who's God's elect are. But those who are in the body, we're all on an equal plane.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Follow what he says here. Also in Colossians 4:9, Paul refers to Onesimus. Here he uses the Greek phrase to pisto agapitu alifpo os estin in imam. It is rendered, he called him a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. And when he said who is one of you, he was not speaking in the physical realm. When he said he is one of you, Paul was focusing on the body. You see, we are all divided, because that's the way the world is. That's a part of depravity. Amen.
Yep.
So you have black church, white church, and then you have this status. I heard that this one church, that everybody in there was worth millions. You mean, the average person in there, amen, was worth so many millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And you didn't even get to join that church. If your bank account wasn't, you know, that's in the flesh, that's in the world. Those who are part of that congregation who are saved, amen, they have no more value than you are.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's it.
So here what is put forth there is that there is no difference between Philemon and Onesimus. So one's social classification does not enter into the spiritual realm of the body of Christ. This is why it is necessary that if you're going to actually preach about the everlasting church, you're not talking about social fleshly issues. Because whatever gains that are made in the flesh a short-lived. Whatever accomplishments are made are in the flesh, they're short-lived. Follow me now. Whatever gains that you may obtain in this world, they're short-lived. And of course, sometimes at homegoing ceremonies and funerals, what have you, memorials, they speak about the accomplishment of the deceased. And I dare say none of it is relevant in eternity. The only thing that would come about such one is what is his eternal relationship with Christ, and that's something that he had nothing to do with. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't show recognition, etc., so forth, but I'm saying put those things in the proper place, in the proper perspective. There's a place for that, but it's not in the body of Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's what we're saying.
Glory to God.
You have so many days on this earth. Now, come Wednesday, we're celebrating. That, and I'm grateful to all, amen, today, and acknowledging my birthday. I thank you for it very much, and I thank God. Wednesday, I'll be 60 years old. That's 720 months. Well, how many months in a year? What is 60 times 12? Huh? 720 months. If I were to live to be 100, and I'm sure that's not going to happen. I can, amen. You say, well, how do you know? I think I have a word from the Lord on that one. Well, dealing with all of the ailments that I have now. Amen. This body's not going that route, that length. Well, but those that live to be 100 years old, 100 years old, that's 1,200 months. What is that compared to eternity? It's but a whisper.
Yes.
You see, the things that we do now, and I'm appalled and amazed, and of course, though, I guess I shouldn't be, because, amen, it takes God to open your eyes, that we place all of our emphasis and priority on the things that are happening in time.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. Which is temporary. And we make secondary the things that are associated eternally. The most important thing about you is your eternal union with Christ in his body.
Glory to God.
Yes. Because one day, if the Lord tarries, you're going to die. So, ooh, Pastor, don't say that.
Yes, preach it. Yes.
Who is still around that was living in 1812? See what I'm saying? And the beat goes on. And whatever was happening then, I'm sure that was the most important thing to some that lived at that time. What is the importance of the politics of 1812 to the ones that were living then? Huh? A man's social status here. He wrote to Philemon to say, this is a faithful brother. He's one of you, but in the body of Christ. Doesn't matter how rich you are. Someone said to me, so-and-so died a millionaire. I said, don't just stop. 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 You went too far. He didn't die a millionaire. He died. Period. He didn't die. The second he died, he was no longer a millionaire.
Hallelujah.
You better hear me this morning. It will soon pass. And only what your association is with Christ will last.
Thank God.
Because one day you're going to shed this body. Whether you were rich, you and your riches will depart. Whether you were successful, your success will part from you. Whether you are astute, it's going to depart from you. And all the nicenesses that they said at your home going, at your memorial, whatever, it's not about anything in relationship to where you eternally will be.
Glory.
In the body.
Glory.
That's what the action.
Thank God.
That's what the action is.
Hallelujah.
Give me about 10 minutes here. Here in these communications, as Paul was writing, he documents that there is no distinction in the church according to neither social nor economic status or any other human gauge of rank in the worth and value. Mankind, the word of God has put a value on you, depraved. In case you don't know what that means, it means worthless. There is nothing that's outside of the body that influence what goes on in the body.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
And we look at churches, they have cliques. We have organization, the men are fighting for power.
Yeah, lots of that.
Oh, a whole lot of that.
Want to be a bishop, so you go and you bribe a few people on the bishop board.
Yeah.
That's why. You want to be president of this council, of this convention, and so you rally and you do just like the folks in the Democratic and Republican Party. Amen. And I think sometimes they're even more civil, amen, than they are in the church, because somehow they find a way to kiss and make up at least before the cameras. But that's not a representation of the body of Christ, where our focus should be. It is not who you are. It's not about who you are. It's irrelevant who you are. It's about Christ, who has made you, amen, in essence, the essence of what He is. And so, the focus has to be in Christ, in the body.
Yeah,
funeral one time. I'm sitting somewhere, you know, because there's some presentations, I guess, or whatever you made. But
thank you.
I went to a funeral one time, and I know this is going out on the airways, and I mean out on the internet through our audio. But I'm just telling like it is. That was a, and here this is where this ethnicity stuff it gets crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That was this this white pastor that was there, and the deceased had belonged to his church, to the church he pastored, and I guess she was a good worker in the kitchen. Thank God for good workers in the kitchen. We have some sisters around here. Those who stick around in a few minutes, you'll see. They can really cook. They can really throw down. Most people that leave here, they go out the door saying, "I will be back." But she was good work in the kitchen, and he was up eulogizing her and said, "In heaven, I can see when we get to heaven that when I need some bread back to Sister So and So." When I said, "Oh, this is a fool." We won't be serving each other, but we'll be serving him.
Glory.
Which is what we should be doing down here. Huh?
Glory.
You see, we think physical.
Yes.
Everything is so physical. We are so visibly physical until we're spiritually blind.
Yes.
All about the physical. We will look at Christ physical, and we, as we shall deal in a few weeks, when we deal in the fifth chapter, 2 Corinthians, and Paul said, we don't know him like that. As far as we know, Paul never saw Jesus in the flesh, yet he said, I saw him. He had already ascended and was glorified. So what are you saying, Paul? If he was crucified, had risen, and ascended, how could you see him? Paul said, not after the flesh. And those gone to the Passion movie. And I've said to those here, by all means go. Don't get caught up and carried away. You see, the action at Calvary was a manifestation of that which had already occurred in eternity.
Glory. Yes.
Does not the Bible teach us that the Lamb was slain in eternity?
Glory to God.
You say, how could that be? It was just 2,000 years ago. No, that was the manifestation of it. The Lamb was slain in eternity. Everyone that God saved, he saved in eternity.
Glory to God.
So no. I was saved July the 14th, 1966. So no. That's the manifestation of your call in time.
All right, preach.
It was inevitable because of what God did in eternity.
Whoa. Hallelujah. That's right. Thanks.
You were chosen, Ephesians 1 and 4. And elected in him before the creation of the world.
Oh, what
it
said.
Well, someone said, well, he did it with foreknowledge. He looked down in time, he saw what I was going to do, and he did it. So now God is responding to what you're doing. He's got to work around your agenda and what you do. Suppose you change your mind. Now God's got to, you got to change that. It's not about you. It's all about him. I didn't say it's about him. It's all about him. And if we ever get to the place where we can focus away from ourselves and focus on Christ, now we're falling in with the will of God. Because long after all of creation has reached the end of its manifestation. And this is what you have in the book of Revelation. That at some point, God's going to wrap it all up. And everything that is now will not exist as it is. So it doesn't matter who's president. And I know this is election year. Don't get the far we'll go here is to say on November or whatever that is, that Tuesday, second Tuesday, go to polls and vote for the candidate of your choice, period. Because you know what? God has already ordained whether George W. get in or out. So
already.
Amen. I'm not saying don't go vote about it. Don't take that long. It's a wasted vote. No, it's not. If God has decreed that you vote, then you go vote. It's not a wasted action. You're not doing. It's not wasted. No action is wasted because if it's wrong at the appointed time and junction, he's going to make it right. God is going to reconcile all things unto himself. Oh my God. And out of all of this chaos, he brings us into eternity a perfect creation.
Glory.
The body of Christ.
Thanks.
Don't you love him this morning?
Amen.
Give him a praise.
Hallelujah.
Give him a praise. If you love the body of Christ, give him a praise. You love the church. I mean the real church. Give them a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Perhaps there's someone.